There are three big problems with used vehicle appraisals. One, manually sifting through comp vehicles. Two, old book values and ghost comps. Three, no recon visibility. You can solve them all with AutoVision, now available from Reynolds & Reynolds. Learn more at reyrey.com/usedcars. That's reyrey.com/used-cars.
Want to dive deeper into the topics you hear about on Daily Drive? We're offering listeners a special offer, 20% off a one-year Automotive News digital subscription. That gets you access to all of our news, information, and analysis made for automotive industry leaders like you. Go to autonews.com/dailydrivepromo to redeem. Welcome to Daily Drive for Monday, the 1st of April, 2024. I'm Jamie Butters, executive editor of Automotive News in Detroit.
And I'm Kellen Walker in Las Vegas. Today on the show, Wall Street is getting worried about demand for Teslas. U.S. traffic deaths were down last year, but are still above pre-pandemic levels. And Mitsubishi and Nissan partner on electrified models in the U.S. Plus, Honda's Jay Joseph talks about the automaker's hydrogen strategy, including its partnership with General Motors.
Our goal with that is really to continue building the hydrogen economy, investing in development with different partners and generating more demand.
Let's run through all the news you need to know to keep up in the auto industry.
Tesla may be headed for a gloomy milestone as waning demand for electric vehicles and elevated interest rates take a toll on sales. Analysts rapidly lowered their projections for this week's deliveries report as the quarter came to a close. Some on Wall Street are even braced for Tesla's first sales decline since the early days of the pandemic. On average, analysts surveyed by Bloomberg estimate that Tesla delivered just under 454,000 vehicles in the quarter. That would be down more than 6% from the company's record showing in the fourth quarter, which tends to be the best time of year for sales. The key will be delivering more cars than the roughly 423,000 in the first 3 months of 2023 and avoiding a first year-over-year drop since the second quarter of 2020.
U.S. auto safety regulators say traffic deaths fell by 3.6% in 2023 to just under 41,000. It's the second straight yearly decline, but deaths are still significantly above pre-pandemic levels. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says the 2023 results compared with about 42,500 deaths in 2022. Fatalities are still much higher than the more than 36,000 people killed in 2019. Experts say as U.S. roads became less crowded during the pandemic, some motorists perceived police as less likely to issue tickets. They say that likely resulted in riskier behavior on the roads.
It took a while, but Nissan and Mitsubishi are finally teaming up on U.S. products. Nissan will launch its first North America plug-in hybrid based on a system engineered by Mitsubishi. And Mitsubishi will launch a local product using Nissan's electric vehicle technology. Meanwhile, Nissan and Mitsubishi will jointly develop a next-generation pickup to be produced in Mexico. Full electric and plug-in hybrid versions of that truck are under consideration. The one-ton pickup would likely land as a successor to the Nissan Frontier.
And Ford is marking the Mustang's 60th anniversary with a celebration on April 17th at the Charlotte Motor Speedway in North Carolina. Ford will use the event to roll out a limited edition 60th anniversary appearance package and kick off a year-long series of experiences available to Mustang owners. And those are today's headlines. Jamie, Wall Street is concerned about Tesla demand. Analysts lowered their projections for this week's deliveries report. Should shareholders be concerned?
Tesla shareholders might be in for kind of a long stretch of not getting a lot of really positive news. If you're in Tesla now, you probably want to stay there, or keep maybe accumulating some shares while they're what did Elon call it? They're between growth spurts, between stages of growth. So they grew a lot last year. Of course, they also cut prices quite a bit, But bringing out the Model 3 and the Model Y, getting those ramped up across all four assembly plants around the world, Tesla really grew into almost a 2 million vehicle per year company. But their next big phase doesn't really get started until maybe late next year, kind of really kicking in around 26, 27 with the so-called Model 2, the cheaper, you know, $25,000 to $30,000 car. Until then, it's just going to be some Cybertrucks, maybe some semis, maybe some efficiency gains, but maybe not a lot to show.
Gotcha. Coming up, Honda and General Motors are teaming up to build more products that run on hydrogen. We'll hear from Honda's Jay Joseph next on Daily Drive.
The EPA has finalized its tailpipe emissions rule. The agency now projects that battery electric vehicles will account for 30 to 56% of new light-duty vehicle sales in the 2030 to 2032 model years. We want to hear from you.
What do you think of the new rule? How will it affect your business? Send us a voicemail, text, or email. You might hear your comment on this week's Weekend Drive episode. Here's how you can get in touch.
Call us and leave a voicemail or text us at 313-444-2774. Again, that's 313-444-2774. You can also record your voice on your smartphone and send it to dailydrive@autonews.com. That's dailydrive, one word, at autonews.com.
And tune in to our Weekend Drive episode, available Saturday morning.
Data is the backbone of your used vehicle department, but finding the right data and using it to build accurate comp sets can be difficult. How often do you find yourself making manual adjustments to pricing recommendations? Reynolds' newest inventory management solution, AutoVision, can help. Jose Mendoza, general manager at San Leandro Honda, explains how AutoVision sets his business apart.
Everybody's going on third-party vendor sites to see what they're priced at out there. Everybody's looking at auction data. Everybody's looking at transaction data if you can get it. So the only thing that really is going to make a difference for you is what you're selling them at. So I think you have to weigh that a little bit heavier than you do everything else. It doesn't matter if the market says you can sell this car for $30,000 if the last three you've sold have been at 27. We have reports set up through our DMS, through Reynolds & Reynolds, and through AutoVision, which is what we use for our used cars. And we have reports set up in those. And it's something that I think is important to constantly be talking about and constantly be going over.
AutoVision can help you run your used vehicle department with precise comp sets, real-time inventory data, and reconditioning insights. Visit rayray.com/usedcars to find out more. That's rey.com/used-cars.
Welcome back to Daily Drive. I'm Jamie Butters with Kellen Walker. In January, General Motors and Honda took a major step toward getting hydrogen power into wider commercial use. The automakers started production of hydrogen fuel cell systems co-developed via a joint venture. They are producing fuel cells and modules at a 70,000 square foot plant about 20 miles south of Detroit in Brownstown Township. The launch builds on a collaboration that began in 2013, which later led to an $85 million investment to create fuel cell systems manufacturing. Jay Joseph is American Honda Motors Vice President of Sustainability and Business Development. He spoke with our own Pete Bigelow on Shift, a podcast about mobility. Here's a piece of their conversation.
We met about 2 months ago in Brownstown, Michigan, at an event that signaled a milestone of sorts for a Honda and General Motors joint venture. Kicked us off by sharing what Honda is doing there exactly.
That's right. Yeah, it was great to meet you a couple of months ago in Brownstown. The kickoff was the start of commercial production of our Honda second generation fuel cell. Of course, it's a joint venture with GM that we manufacture in Michigan. And it was the start of regular production of that second generation fuel cell stack. And that's exactly the fuel cell stack that will be going into the CRV fuel cell electric vehicle that's going on sale soon. We're just a couple of days ahead of announcing pricing and some of the other important details that will bring that vehicle to market. But of course, that's just one of the applications of that new fuel cell. We've identified four domains for that business, including light vehicles, passenger vehicles, commercial vehicles, and that can include construction equipment and heavy trucks, stationary power sources, and agricultural and construction equipment. So we've really identified these four domains that we're pursuing hydrogen business, and that second generation fuel cell stack will go into many of those applications.
This was a long time coming in a lot of ways. So I'll give Honda a lot of credit here. I feel like this joint venture started in 2013, and it certainly seems timely that production is starting here in early 2024, because hydrogen is practically a buzzword at this point. But what was the foresight that you and others at Honda saw back a decade plus now that kind of now play into this moment that we're having with hydrogen?
It really goes back almost 40 years, Pete, because we first started our research in hydrogen fuel cell stacks about 40 years ago, nearly 40 years ago, and for the purpose of mobility. And you know, one of the things about hydrogen that makes it so attractive is it's a very high density energy carrier. Being the smallest atom, of course, it's the smallest molecule. It's able to have really high energy density, but it's also transportable and it's storable. So there are many very attractive things about hydrogen. Of course, it has to be part of a bigger ecosystem. You want to get green hydrogen, and you know that means maybe using renewable energy to generate hydrogen so you can store it and use it when you need it. So the reasons are many. And of course, some parts of the world are very energy dependent, and hydrogen is abundant and it's in the air we breathe. So it's available to us. It's in water. All we have to do is get it out of where it's stored, and then it becomes accessible for things like mobility or electricity creation. So it's a very appealing source of energy and energy storage option, and that's why we've been so invested in it as a research endeavor for so long. But to commercialize it, we really have to invest in these economies, and that's where the idea of the joint venture with GM came along. They're very good at some things with respect to fuel cells. They also have a long history of fuel cells going back into the 60s, I think. We have a long history, and what we found was our technical knowledge and experience was very complementary, and we were able to work together, you know, based on a set of shared goals and shared objectives. We've been able to establish this joint venture, and it was really exciting a couple of months ago to get things rolling and actually have stacks coming off of the assembly line.
How many stacks or fuel cell systems, if that's the right terminology, do you expect to, I guess, manufacture together, or what part of that do you split them 50-50? How does that work exactly?
It's a roughly 50-50 split, and then we can adjust based on demand as needed. So there's, you know, as a partnership, those things have to be negotiated up front, and then I'd say, you know, adjusted over time based on each party's demand and keeping everything fair and equitable. And it's been, that part of it's been very, very good with GM. Everything's on the table, and we've been able to work together very well. We expect to be approaching full production of around 5,000 per year sometime late this year or next year. You know, this is, we started in January, but of course you don't start it at full throttle on something like this. It's a very complex series of manufacturing procedures. And of course, as you saw, dependent on clean rooms and really high precision manufacturing and printing and some really advanced techniques. So we're getting things up and running. But our goal with that is really to continue building the hydrogen economy, is investing in development with different partners and generating more demand. By the end of this decade, by around 2030, we seek to have demand for around 60,000 different fuel cell applications per year. So that's going from where we are today, which in the hundreds per year, to tens of thousands per year is a big step. And we have plans to build that business gradually.
Of those other kind of applications you outlined, commercial, stationary power, and ag, are others in those spheres kind of coming online at the same time as the CRV, or is the CRV like the first in the pecking order to get your share of those fuel cells?
The CRV is really first. We're producing that vehicle now in Ohio. It's actually being built at the same Precision Manufacturing Center, PMC, in Ohio that was building the Acura NSX. So that gives you a sense of the craftspersonship that goes into making that vehicle and taking our most popular vehicle, the CRV, and converting that or applying the fuel cell into that body structure using our finest craftspeople.
So you've made a decision to put a fuel cell in your most popular vehicle. Who's the customer, and walk me through how Honda got to making that decision.
Sure. So the customer is, you know, obviously the retail hydrogen infrastructure is primarily in California. And so the customer base will be in California, where people can get access to hydrogen. The customers, we think initially, will be people that we already know from the Clarity fuel cell electric vehicle. And of course, the competitors, the Mirai and the Nevo, there are people who would like a new vehicle. And we believe that putting a fuel cell in the most popular form factor of a small SUV is a good way to attract people. So the basis is really around for people around hydrogen fueling. But it's not limited to that. Of course, this vehicle is one of the most advanced and sophisticated powertrains ever offered because it's not just a fuel cell vehicle, it's a hybrid. And it has around 25, it's a plug-in hybrid, in fact, with around 25 miles range of plug-in. So that should be enough to help people get to hydrogen when they need to.
Jay Joseph is American Honda Motors Vice President of Sustainability and Business Development. He spoke with our own Pete Bigelow. You can hear their full conversation on Shift, a podcast about mobility, wherever you get your podcasts. That's Daily Drive for today. I'm Jamie Butters.
And I'm Kellen Walker. Thanks to Automotive News coordinating producer Jake Neer, as well as our own Hans Greimel, Nick Bunkley, and Lindsay Van Hulley for their reporting for today's podcast. You can get the latest news on tech and innovation, Tesla deliveries, and everything happening in the auto industry at autonews.com.
Come back tomorrow for my conversation with Ford Chief Dealer Engagement Officer, Elena Ford.
You can't just sort of pull a technician out of the bay and be like, hey, you're going to do mobile service.
Right.
So we've really spent time training the dealers on mobile service.
We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think of the show and the topics we covered today. Send us an email at dailydrive@autonews.com or leave us a voicemail at 313-444-2774. And if you enjoy the podcast, remember to like, leave a review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.